Welcome. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. One thing that often emerges when a couple decides to cohabitate are legal issues. However, there are important things you can do before going into cohabitation that can ward off these legal problems. Jocelyn Davis of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers breaks it all down on the Watching Your Wealth podcast, coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street, to your street. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
This is Veronica Dagger, and you're listening to Watching Your Wealth, while you learn all you need to know about building your wealth and protecting your money. Jocelyn Davis is president of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, and she's here to tell us why more cohabitating couples are involving lawyers when they split up. Welcome, Jocelyn.
Hi, Veronica. How are you today?
I'm great. Happy to speak with you. So, Jocelyn, I would love to know, why are we seeing more legal disputes between cohabitating couples?
Well, it's because there are more cohabitating couples.
Mm.
The divorce rate is declining, and there are more people who are living together unmarried.
Gotcha. So what are some of the things they're fighting over?
Well, they fight over the same things that people who are married fight over.
No shortage.
They fight over financial matters, parental rights, financial support, property division, all those same types of things.
Now, you as a lawyer, are you seeing an increase of in couples creating cohabitation agreements?
Yes, we do see an increase, and that has happened in recent years. Over the past number of years, there were just not that many people seeking cohabitation agreements. There were some same-sex couples who sought those agreements, but for the most part, they were rare. Now, people are becoming more informed, and we have more unmarried cohabitants, both opposite-sex couples and same-sex couples, and as a result, we're seeing an increase in these types of agreements.
Give us a quick overview of actually what these agreements are and what sort of things they cover.
These agreements are contracts between unmarried individuals. The contracts are treated just as any contract would, even between strangers, mostly governed by state law. So these are very state-specific, and you've got to be aware of the law in the particular state in which you are residing in order to understand the implications of these agreements.
Because depending on that state law, these contracts may or may not be enforceable. Is that all right, inference there?
Well, in part, in the vast majority of states, contracts between unmarried persons are enforceable as they relate to certain things, such as property interest, but other things, they may not be enforceable. If there are things relating to children, for example, these types of agreements, although they may be of some indication as relating to the best interest of the child, they would not be binding on a court.
Gotcha. So in terms of what might be included in these agreements, you're talking about what happens to your checking accounts or other financial assets you have, property. What are some of the things that might be covered?
Yes. With two people living together, they may cover things, like you mentioned, how they're going to handle their money. They may want to pool their money and treat it in a certain way. They may want to use their money for certain things to make purchases, and then they want to delineate how that asset that's purchased would be owned. For example, a house. There are situations where unmarried cohabitants want to buy a house together, but they want to be very specific about who is going to own what, particularly if their relationship falls apart.
Mm.
So that in contracts relating to real estate is really a major area that these contracts pertain to.
That seems smart because you'd want to protect yourself. In general, do you recommend couples who live together get these contracts written up? Or do you think, is that taking things, to another level? Is that getting a little serious if they're involving
lawyers? In many circumstances where unmarried cohabitants are putting their money into the relationship, because they each have expectations that they will receive the benefit of their investment. To make sure that they do, they need to seek the protection of an agreement, because otherwise what happens is the state's default common law is what applies. So it makes it much clearer and easier to enforce, and the parties have an understanding about what their financial circumstances are if they use a contract rather than falling back on common law.
Important issues indeed. Thank you so much for your tips, Jocelyn. Very helpful.
Thank you, Veronica.
This has been Watching Your Wealth, a production of The Wall Street Journal. I'm Veronica Dagger. For more information, check us out at WSJ.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.